If you had been here last Sunday, you heard me preaching on Spiritual Warfare 1, and we learned that there are two kingdoms in the spiritual realm opposing each other, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. We, the Christians, are the citizens of God's kingdom. And therefore, we are automatically are at war with Satan's kingdom. Today, I'm doing the part 2 of 3, and I'm going to expound the 3 verses that are printed in your bulletin. All verses will tell us what Satan is up to, and how he harasses us, oppresses us, and attacks us. It is very important, therefore, for us to understand my particular sermon this morning, because you don't hear this kind of sermon often enough. I looked at my 3.5 years at Manahawkin here, and I don't recall speaking of this spiritual warfare at all. So at this moment, I encourage all of you to bring out your pen or pencil and jot down my points of the sermon on the bulletin. And don't throw the bulletin right away, but keep it and study the notes and meditate on them until it becomes a part of you. So as I said, I'm going to lead you one verse each time. They are all printed in your bulletin. Let me read again the first verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, who do you think here the God of this world? It is not God we serve. It is Satan, the devil, and the enemy of God's kingdom. And the devil has one mission. According to verse 4, it is to blind the eyes of the minds of the people. What is his ultimate goal? To prevent people from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they may remain in darkness, so that they may not receive the salvation through Jesus, so that they may not see the light of God's truth, so that they may not see the light of God's kingdom. Let me read again. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel. Now I'm moving on to second verse, John 13, verse 2. During supper, it says, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, meaning Jesus. Here's the context. It was the night before Christ was crucified, and Jesus was having his last supper with his 12 disciples, and one of them was Judas Iscariot. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas the thought of betrayal of his master. Now note here, who put the thought into the heart of Judas? The devil, wasn't it? In fact, the devil still does it to anyone's heart. He has been, and he does, and he will. Into every heart and mind, and into every person, believers and non-believers alike. You see, the human heart is like an open bowl, like open cup, if you will, with no lid. There's no way you could cover it. Any kind of thoughts, therefore, can come in and stay there. There are 3 beings or entities, if you will, who can throw any thoughts into our hearts and minds. First, God. He can prompt godly and honorable thoughts in our heart and mind. Let's say you've never been to church, and all of a sudden one morning you want to go to church to worship God. Where that thought comes from? From God. That's a godly thought. Indeed, the scripture says that God gives us the desire to obey him and power to do his will, such as forgiving someone, such as loving someone, such as doing something good to others. Godly thoughts. The second person or second entity could do is ourselves, you and I. And we can think and make decisions by ourselves. Let's say this morning, I'm hungry. I want to go and eat something, but I don't like a fast food, you know, chain. I like Applebee's, by the way. So you say to yourself, I'll go there, enjoy my favorite dish. All these thoughts and decisions are made by ourselves, yourself and mine. The third being who can throw in any thought into our heart is, of course, the devil. Now consider John 13:2. Who did put the thought of betrayal into Judas' heart? It was not God, was it? It was not Judas himself either. It was the devil. Now please pay attention to the verb here to put into. Now I looked at 7 different translations of this verse. And some translations read, induced the thought or prompted the thought. They're all meaning the same. But let me tell you what it truly means. The original Greek word here is balo ace. Balo means to throw and ace means into. So it literally means to throw in. The closest example I can give you is this. Imagine that you're playing basketball. There's a hoop and then you throw the ball into the hoop and it goes in and you score, right? And in this example, the hoop is your heart. The one who throws the ball is the devil, and the ball is any thought that is ungodly, negative, destructive, and unclean. Let me give you some examples. Any negative thoughts, such as self-pity, low esteem, such as if you call or think of yourself, I'm nobody, no good bum, I'm worthless, I'm an accident, I look ugly. The list goes on, folks. Those are the negative thoughts. What about destructive thoughts that result in destruction of ourselves and others? True story, I was in Michigan some years ago. One night I was helping my wife and doing the dishes and drying the kitchen knife with towel. Out of nowhere, a thought popped in my heart saying to me, I can hurt someone with this knife. I thought, where this thought comes from? By the way, I'm a pastor. You see, I realized that night, it is not God, it is not I, but someone else could put a bad thought in my heart. What about unclean thoughts that lead us to pornography and adultery and so forth? Now, all these thoughts come from Satan. So here's our homework, folks. We need to screen out all the thoughts in our minds and hearts, especially those thoughts that I mentioned today, destructive, negative, and unclean. Okay? If you find them disagreeing with God's word and you need to bring them captive to the obedience of Christ, imagine yourself, you're a cop with handcuffs. If you look at every single thought you have, especially destructive and negative thoughts, and if you realize that that's they are, and you need to handcuff them and bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. That's your homework. Now let me move on to the third scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Please circle the words such as fortresses in verse 4, speculations and knowledge and thought in verse 5. Now all these words refer to the things that enter or take place in our minds. And there is a wonderful gentleman whose name is Derek Prince, whom I highly admire. He explains quite well as this. I quote, every one of those words, as I said, speculations, knowledge and thought, refers to the same particular realm, the realm of the mind. We absolutely must understand the battleground is in the realm of mind. Satan is waging an all-out war to captivate the minds of the human race. He is building strongholds and fortresses in their minds, and it is our responsibility as God's representatives to use our spiritual weapons to break down these strongholds. to liberate the minds of men and women, and then to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What a staggering assignment that is. Folks, please do not assume that the battleground is someplace else, spiritual warfare going on someplace else. No, the front line is your heart and your mind. Mr. Prince continues, I quote, Satan deliberately and systematically builds strongholds in people's minds, that includes yours and mine. And these strongholds and fortresses resist the truth of the gospel and the word of God and prevent people from being able to receive the message of the gospel. Why do you think the devil works so hard, diligently, with one purpose? To prevent people from being able to receive the message of the gospel. You know, you're sitting in the sanctuary and all of a sudden during the service and during the sermon time particularly, it doesn't make any sense to you. And all you think of is, when is the football start today? It's not you, folks. That's what I'm saying. What do you think spiritually going? The devil is working very hard to blind you so that you may not receive the truth. That's what it is. It's not sermon is boring. No. The devil just put the veil before you so that you may not see the light. That's what's happening. Now you may wonder what the strongholds are. Some of you still, what is strongholds? Fortresses in mind. More from Mr. Prince. I quote, a stronghold is something that blinds men's minds so that the light of the gospel cannot shine in. When a person is in that condition, it is worse than useless to argue with him or her. The more you argue, the more they restate their error, and the more firmly they are stuck in their error. The only way to deliver such people is to use our spiritual weapons and break down the strongholds in their minds. I'm going to summarize what I have said so far. So far I talked about the devil's goal. He has one goal. What is that? To blind you and me so that we may not see the light of the gospel. Number two, it is the devil who throws negative and destructive thoughts into our hearts. Don't forget. Number three, Satan builds up strongholds in our hearts and minds. And one more thing and I'll be through. I'm going to explain to you how Satan builds up strongholds in your mind. Listen very carefully. This is how it does. At first, he throws into your heart and mind one single negative, unclean, or destructive thought, such as guilt, shame, lies, jealousy, envy, lust, hate, greed, anxiety, sadness, low self-esteem, and so forth. Any form, okay? Then, after he throws that ball, you know, the thought into your heart, he waits. And he observes your reaction. If you are totally unaware of what's going on and coming into your heart and mind, and if you do not resist, in fact, if you seem to like it, welcome it, and delight in it, and dwell on it, and accept it, then Satan moves on to the next step. He throws the second thought into your heart again. And third one and fourth one. Over time, he begins to build up the stronghold in your mind, one thought at a time. Like Mason builds a tower, brick by brick. Now all this is happening with your own consent. You never objected to it. The biggest trouble to me is that people take those thoughts from Satan as their own. You think I'm stretching? Listen, I just spoke about Judas Iscariot, okay? Do you know what happened to him after he sold Jesus, his master, for 30 silver coins? Do you think he took his pouch full of coins and went out and enjoyed his life? Listen, this is what happened to him. After he had sold Jesus for, 30 coins, he was so filled with remorse. He talked to himself, I sold the innocent blood. That's what he said. He felt, what a terrible thing that I did to my master. And he hanged himself. He killed himself. You and I both know he was confused, totally confused with the origin of the thought. It was not himself at all who betrayed Jesus. It was Satan's thought that he put into Judas' heart. Now, the more we cooperate with Satan on what he's doing to us, to our heart, the higher the walls of the fortress will be. Soon, those thoughts become a permanent structure. The Bible calls them strongholds or fortresses. And it grants the legal ground for Satan and his minions to come in and operate from. In other words, Satan anytime have access to your heart and mind because you allow them to build a stronghold there. It's theirs, not yours anymore. Now, don't despair, folks. Everyone I know, myself included, has at least one or two or more strongholds in their minds and hearts that are built not by us, not by God, but by Satan. Strongholds can have many different forms. It could be addiction problem. It could be drinking and stubbornness and laziness and temper problem and smoking and greed and lust and pornography, hate and self-pity and so forth. The list goes on. Those strongholds, good news, is that can only come down by spiritual weapons, not by guns or cannons or missiles, not even by A-bombs. They don't disappear, but only by spiritual weapons, divinely powerful weapons. And we'll talk about those things next Sunday. Let's bow us and pray. Lord, enlighten the eyes of our heart that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance you have prepared for us. Help us beware Satan's strategy, deception, lies, negative thoughts, fear, anxiety coming into our heart. Help us be fully aware of his strategy, and from now on, help us to bring captive of those negative, destructive, and unclean thoughts to the obedience of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.